The Island Digest is a sampling of the stories in this week's Journal of the San Juans, Islands Sounder, and Islands Weekly, which are on newsstands now. The September 28th edition is brought to you by Orcas Island Healthcare District. I'm Caleb Summers. Headlines from the week of September 28th, 2022. Film Fest back in full force. Soccer team score wins. Lopez Community Land Trust wins Built Green Award. New study shows commercial whale watching reduces vessel incidents in the vicinity of killer whales. Plus, excerpts from the sheriff's log. In local headlines, from the Islands Sounder, Film Fest back in full force. Jacqueline Bisset to attend, Jean-Marc Vallée to be honored. By Colleen Smith Summers. Orcas audiences will again be whisked away to lands near and far during the 8th annual Orcas Island Film Festival. From October 6th through 12th, Seaview Theater and Orcas Center will screen 36 of the season's hottest new films from around the globe. This is the first full-scale return of the festival since the pandemic. OIFF celebrates artistic excellence and provides a unique opportunity for filmmakers and film lovers to share the cinematic experience in one of the most beautiful places in the world, said co-director Donna Laszlo. The majority of the films selected are award contenders for the Oscars, and cinema-goers have the opportunity to see them weeks and months before their official release to the general public. For tickets and more information, visit www.oifilmfest.org. Hundreds of cinephiles from the island and beyond attend every year, reveling in the top-level curation. Seattle newspaper The Stranger published a September 20th story calling the Orcas Film Festival Our Cannes. The 2022 lineup includes 8 documentary films and 28 feature films from 25 countries, with 13 of the films directed by women. Co-director and chief curator Carl Spence has secured top award winners from major film festivals, including Cannes, Triangle of Sadness, Close, E.O., Decision to Leave, and Broker, Venice, All the Beauty and the Bloodshed, The Banshees of Inisherin, and Tar, Berlin, Alcaraz, and Sundance, All That Breathes. Official Oscar submission films for Best International Film will be showcased from around the world. Legendary actress Jacqueline Bisset will headline the film festival to present her most recent project, Lauren and Rose, with director Russell Brown. Other guests from the films Bad Axe, Sam Now, Wildcat, and more will also make appearances. Laszlo and Spence will pay tribute to honorary film festival director Jean-Marc Vallée, who died unexpectedly in 2021 at the age of 58. Vallée was a celebrated film and television director who was a beloved presence at the Orcas Island Film Festival since 2014. In addition to screening his own films and interacting with guests, he also DJed after parties. We will celebrate his impact on the festival and to the world with his unforgettable filmmaking accomplishments, from his early award-winning film Crazy to Dallas Buyers Club to Sharp Objects and Big Little Lies, said Laszlo. From the Journal of the San Juan Islands, Soccer Teams Score Wins, by Heather Spaulding. Boys Soccer. The Friday Harbor Wolverines boys soccer team played against Orcas Vikings on their home turf on Orcas Tuesday, September 20th. Orcus is a longtime island rival and a team we always look forward to playing. They are a strong program that plays a great style of soccer, Coach Brett Paul said. Last season, Orcus beat us in the semifinals in the Final Four state tournaments before moving on to win the state championship last November, which definitely added fuel to our team's intensity and focus in practice leading up to this match. It was a nail-biting game between the evenly matched teams. Both the Wolverines and Vikings had momentum at different points throughout the two halves. Our goalie, Luke Totten, had 3 or 4 crucial saves throughout regulation time, keeping the score 0-0 at the end of the second half, which led us to our overtime series, Paul said, explaining that overtime consists of 2 5-minute halves and a golden goal. One goal ends the game. 2 minutes into overtime, Friday Harbor's Alden Carley won the ball from Orcus at the top of Orcus's 18-yard box and played a through ball to Matteo Zappelli. Zappelli broke free of Orcus's center back, number 5, Diego Lago, and shot from the end line across the mouth of the goal. The ball went over, just out of reach of Orcus's goalie, and into the far side of the net, ending the game 1-0. It was a thrilling end to a well-fought game by both teams. This was a big win for us at this point this season, having only played 1 game to prepare for such a match. We're eager to play Orcus again at home on Tuesday, October 11th, Paul said. I encourage the community to come watch it. It will be a game they won't want to miss. Girls Soccer. The girls' soccer finished their 3rd 3-game week, playing a total of 9 matches in 18 days. We rounded out the 9 with a match against Granite Falls on Tuesday, Laconer on Thursday, and Mariner on Saturday. The Granite Falls match was a rough one, with a lot of physical play which caused some significant injuries to our team, Coach Kevin Cullen said. The first half was cut short after a senior forwards was taken to the ER due to a hit from behind. That injury was difficult for the whole team, but Cullen said he was so impressed by the girls' ability to rally themselves for the second half. In the last few minutes of the game, the Wolverines' keeper suffered an injury after a hard hit. The team kept going and came out victorious with a 2-1 win. Thursday's Laconer match was a good reprieve as they are experiencing a down year. Their coach is hopeful that they will be back to their usual form next year, which would be great for the league, according to Cullen. We finished the match with an 8-0 win. The final match for the week was against a 4A school from Everett. They beat us 5-1 last year as we were coming out of COVID, having no games our previous season, Cullen said. This time was different, as we handled them very well, despite their physical play. We were able to open up passing lanes and had great interplay with our midfield and forwards. Our defense did a great job playing as a unit, and we ended with a 2-0 win. Their next home game will be Saturday, October 1st at noon at the Lindell Community Fields against Bear Creek. From the Islands Weekly, Lopez Community Land Trust wins Built Green Award. On September 15, 2022, LCLT staff member Marley Schmidtke attended the 2022 Master Builders Association, MBA, of King and Snohomish Counties Conference and Award Ceremony. During the awards ceremony, LCLT received the Built Green Hammer Project of the Year Award. Built Green is the Green Home Certification Program of the MBA. LCLT received 5-star certification for Salish Way, a housing neighborhood completed in 2021. Salish Way homes achieved 30% energy use improvement above current Washington State code, and will purchase community solar through Opalco when the project becomes available. The certification process awards points across multiple areas, ranging from drought-tolerant landscape planning and use of rainwater catchment to low-flow water conservation fixtures, energy efficiency, materials efficiency, such as design with multifunctional and flexible spaces, locally produced materials, waste diverted to recycling, and community benefit. To learn more, visit the Built Green website at www.builtgreen.net. LCLT worked with Vandervoort Architects, local builder Barry Hastings, local carpenters, and many other professionals, and a host of mighty volunteers and homeowners. Community support for LCLT leads to environmental building projects that are permanently affordable. New study shows commercial whale watching reduces vessel incidents in the vicinity of killer whales. The Orca Behavior Institute has published a new study in the journal Marine Policy, demonstrating that the presence of commercial whale watching vessels reduces vessel rule infractions in the vicinity of killer whales in Washington. This study was undertaken in response to the new regulations and commercial whale watch licensing program that went into effect in January 2021. We're concerned that the commercial whale watch licensing program, as written, is actually a detriment to the endangered southern residents, said Monica Weiland Shields, director of the Orca Behavior Institute and author of the study. Currently, whale-watching vessels have more stringent rules than private recreational vessels, and the result is that we actually see more speed and distance infractions near the whales as a result. The study, based on data collection that occurred from May to October 2021, demonstrates that the mean number of rule infractions by private vessels drops from an estimated 6.6 per hour in the absence of commercial whale-watching vessels to 2.65 per hour when commercial whale-watch vessels are present. Whale-watch operators are professional drivers that demonstrate the correct speed and distance rules to other boaters, explained Shields. They also alert private vessels to the presence of the whales, sometimes just by being there, but also by actively honking their horns or waving whale flags to get their attention before a violation occurs. All vessels in Washington's inland waters are required by law to stay more than 300 yards away from southern resident killer whales and reduce speed to less than 7 knots within 1/2 nautical mile of the whales. The licensing program, however, only allows commercial whale watch vessels this viewing opportunity for 4 hours a day during July, August, and September. For the rest of the year, they are required to stay 1/2 nautical mile away from the southern resident killer whales, a restriction that only applies to them. This study provides the first peer-reviewed empirical evidence for the sentinel effect played by commercial whale-watching vessels, a key question that was debated during the development of their licensing rules. As required, WDFW is undergoing their first review of the effectiveness of the regulations now. This study was submitted in response to their call for new data, and the public survey on a review of the vessel regulations is open until September 30th. The Orca Behavior Institute is a nonprofit research group based on San Juan Island, Washington. They conduct non-invasive behavioral and acoustic research on both southern resident and Biggs killer whales. And now, choice excerpts from the San Juan County Sheriff's log. On September 14th, a Lopez deputy responded to a theft call. Once the deputy investigated the allegation, they learned that the item never belonged to the reporting party and was reclaimed by the legal owner. On September 15th, a Lopez deputy stopped a speeding driver who, when the officer approached, explained they were heading to their son, who called when he fell off his scooter and said he was bleeding on the side of the road. The deputy and driver found the son, who had a minor scrape but was not badly injured. A San Juan deputy responded to a call where the person appeared to be suffering from the effects of psychedelic substances. Medical aid was provided, and the patient was released to a responsible adult. In Friday Harbor, a woman dropped off a brown paper bag at a local business and left. The item discovered inside was likely to be narcotics. An identification of the person who dropped off the bag is believed to be known, and the case remains active. On September 16th, an Orcas deputy responded to a call of a hit-and-run accident, which, once investigated, was determined not to be a hit-and-run, as all parties involved had exchanged information. A drunk person called to report that their older sibling took their car keys because they did not want them to drive drunk. A Lopez deputy responded to the scene and thanked the older sibling. Deputies responded to a two-vehicle collision on Orcas, in which one driver crossed the double yellow center line and struck the other vehicle. The driver that caused the accident was believed to be driving under the influence and was arrested. On September 17th, a deputy on San Juan responded to a report of a person ingesting drugs on the ferry. The subjects were contacted and subsequently issued trespassing notices for the state ferries. A deputy on Orcas responded to a report that two people who had previously skipped out on a bar tab had returned to that business. The suspects were contacted, paid the bill, and were trespassed from that location. On September 18th, a deputy was dispatched to a traffic hazard on San Juan created by multiple signs, political, garage sale, real estate, impeding the roadway. The deputy picked up the signs. On September 19th, an Orcas deputy took a phone call about possible human remains located on Patos Island. An investigation was started and turned over to the San Juan County Coroner's Office. No crime is suspected at this time. On September 20th, an Orcas deputy responded to a complaint of littering on North Beach Road. An investigation was conducted, and it was determined no crime was committed. This concludes the September 28th edition of the Island Digest. This edition is brought to you by Orcas Island Healthcare District, which provides financial support to Island Health Primary Care Orcas. After-hours care for those in need of medical services is available by calling 360-376-2561. For more information, visit orcashealth.org/afterhours. Thank you for listening to the Island Digest, a small sampling of what's in your local print newspapers this week. The Journal, Sounder, and Weekly rely upon advertising, subscriptions, and donations to further our mission of high-quality community journalism. To contribute, visit our websites or email publisher Colleen Smith Summers at csmith@soundpublishing.com. Thanks for listening, and tune in next week for more local news from San Juan County.